Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, chapter 17, texts 20 through 22, which I will read and comment as I go through the texts and purports. The subject matter is, of these three verses, is charity within the three modes of material nature. So, text 20. Dātavyam iti yaddānam diyate nupakārine deshe kāle ca pātre ca taddānam sātvikam smritam. Charity given out of duty, without expectation of return, at the proper time and place, and to a worthy person, is considered to be in the mode of goodness. Purport. In the Vedic literature, charity given to a person engaged in spiritual activities is recommended. There is no recommendation for giving charity indiscriminately. Spiritual perfection is always a consideration. That means not just in giving charity, but in all activities. So in this section of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is discussing the various yagya, danam, tapaschaiva, pavanani, manishinam. He discusses that sacrifice, charity, and austerity, they purify all persons, all humans. So in all activities, spiritual perfection is always a consideration. So that applies to the subject under discussion, charity also. Therefore, charity is recommended to be given at a place of pilgrimage and at lunar or solar eclipses, or at the end of the months. That means Purnima. Today happens to be Purnima. It wasn't planned like that, but Buddha Purnima, the day in which Lord Buddha appeared, at the end of the month, or to a the end of the month means the Vedic month, not so much the which the middle of the month in according to the Gregorian calendar, which in which the year is 2014. So, or at the end of the month, or to a qualified Brahmana, or to a Vaishnava devotee, or in temple. Such charities should be given without any consideration of return. Charity to the poor is sometimes given out of compassion, but if a poor man is not worth giving charity to, then there is no spiritual advancement. In other words, indiscriminate charity is not recommended in the Vedic literature. Text 21. Yat tu pratyupakarartam phalam udishya va punaha diyate cha parikleshtam taddanam rajasam smritam. But charity performed with expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood, is said to be charity in the mode of passion. Perform with some with the expectation of some return. It's calculating. That if charity in the mode of goodness is given with the idea, it's in my duty to give. But if we give with the expectation of some return, just like some company will offer you, buy five pairs of jeans or something like that, and you'll get a free gift. Although prior to the notion of getting something when you buy five pairs of jeans, a gift was always a free gift. A gift means free. If you buy it, it's not a gift, is it? But they're emphasizing the point that you're getting something without something extra. So that's an example of offering something free, but it's not really free. Or the idea that, well, if I give something, then I'll get prestige for doing so. That's very common. Famous philanthropists like Bill Gates is promoting philanthropy. He's letting everyone know that he's become a philanthropist. Mother Teresa had a big hype machine all around her, letting everyone know how much good she was doing to all the people. There are plenty of others who are charity workers who are doing at least as much charity work, but they didn't promote themselves in doing so. They just got on with the work. So that can be a hidden, it's not so obvious that people, they want prestige and social acceptance. After building up their business by exploiting and cheating people, they want to appear as if they actually care for others. So they become a philanthropist. Or they do something like feeding school children, and they think that they say we're helping the school children, but then they have they get more and more people who are competent to work in their factories as technicians and this and that, and they pay them next to nothing. And in this way they get tax benefits, and then they get more workers to work for them in the next generation. And in this way they present themselves as philanthropists. So it's calculating. So charity performed in the expectation of some return, or with a desire for fruitive results, or in a grudging mood. As before, you said, it's my duty. So, oh, it's my duty. Yeah. Don't want to open. Anyway, okay, give the jerk some money. Or is said to be charity in the mode of passion. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Charity is sometimes performed for elevation to the heavenly kingdom, and sometimes with great trouble, and with repentance afterwards. Why have I spent so much in this way? Oh, I gave the money. What did I do that for? I got carried away by pious thoughts. I shouldn't have given it. Anyways. Charity is also sometimes given under some obligation at the request of a superior. Sometimes, not just at the request of a superior, but sometimes just like the political parties, if in some countries, such as India, if you don't give money to the different political parties, then you may be in some trouble. Your business may not get a license, or the one of our devotees was he was personal secretary to one of the big businessmen based in London, who's of Indian background, actually Pakistani, but they're Indian citizens. They're from Sindh. There was no Pakistan when they were born. You'll find Indian passports. They say, born in Karachi, British India, something like that. So this personal secretary told me that he would give large donations both to Labour and Conservative. So whoever gets in, they like him. Large means for them it's large, but he's making his money. And so he can phone up the Prime Minister anytime. He gives enough to make sure that what he needs to get done gets done. So that's not really charity, is it? It's considered a business investment. That's all. Hmm? It's called corruption. Yeah, that's right. Charity. You're giving to the Labour Party because you really believe they're going to do a good job for England. Oh, Britain, sorry. United Kingdom. And you're also giving to the Conservative Party just because, you know, I've earned so much money and I really think the Conservative Party will do a good job for me. There are many charitable foundations, Srila Prabhupada continues, which offer their gifts to institutions where sense gratification goes on. Such charities are not recommended in the Vedic scripture. Only charity in the mode of goodness is recommended. Then, text 22. Adesha kale yaddanam atpatre bhyascha diyate asatkritam avagyatam tattamasam udaharitam. And charity performed at an impure place at an improper time to unworthy persons or without proper attention and respect is said to be in the mode of ignorance. Purport. Contributions for indulgence in intoxication and gambling are not encouraged here. Just like, for instance, you might be approached on the street by some wino. You all know what a wino is? Wino means someone who's an alcoholic who's really far gone, and their preference is wine. They'll drink beer if they get it, but they prefer wine. And if they can't afford the wine, then there's always methylated spirits. They're called, what are they called? Meth heads. Anyway, that's what they use. Maybe this is out-of-date slang. I don't know. I didn't live in England for many years. So if a wino approaches you and says, give me a bottle. I need to get some wine. And you say, oh, poor guy. Because they're really suffering. They really suffer if they don't get their regular boost of wine. But if you give to them, they'll say, oh, thank you. God bless you. I have experience from my previous to Krishna conscious days is giving charity in the mode of ignorance. Oh, and they're very grateful. But helping them in that habit is in the mode of ignorance. That sort of contribution is in the mode of ignorance. Such charity is not beneficial. Rather, sinful persons are encouraged. Similarly, if a person gives charity to a suitable person, but without respect and without attention, that sort of charity is also said to be in the mode of darkness. So even if you have a suitable person to give to, but if you give in a condescending manner, then that's also in the mode of ignorance. There are Sanskrit words, dakshina. Sometimes we say that's translated as donation, but the English word donation gives the idea of giving. You are in a better position and you're helping the person by giving them some money. But the idea of dakshina is that you're giving for your own purification to a person who kindly accepts it to purify you. It's a different concept altogether than that of giving in charity to the dog's home or whatever charities they... What is that? Near Battersea, they have the dogs, Battersea Dog's Home. So you can give to the poor dogs. So, I'm going to speak a bit about charity here this evening. This is a topic which can be very sensitive because it can be thought that, well, who is speaking on charity? They're looking for some money for themselves. It's one of those cults where they wring all your money out and leave you with nothing. So we don't want to give an image of being money hungry or being a cult that sucks its members dry. Turns you into halal. But it is a topic which Krishna discusses in Bhagavad Gita. So it's also something we should not be shy of. We should understand it in proper perspective. Everything should be understood in proper perspective. Just like we don't promote violence, but we also don't support the idea of total non-violence. Everything should be understood in its proper perspective. So this evening, I'm going to talk about this. Because I'll read some quotes about this from Srila Prabhupada. charity should be given to the Krishna conscious movement for spreading Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And those who give for that will themselves be benefited, and the people of the world will be benefited. We should also remember that money given in Krishna consciousness, those who are accepting it on behalf of Krishna, they have to spend it for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada noted that if we accept money in the name of Krishna, if we spend one farthing, now farthing, people don't even know what it is. It's, there used to be, 20 shillings in a pound, 12 pennies in a shilling, and there were half pennies and halfpennies and farthings, a quarter of a penny. By the time I was cognizant of these things, farthings were already out of circulation. So it means a very small amount of money. So Srila Prabhupada said that if we accept money on behalf of Krishna, but if we spend one farthing for our own sense gratification, then we go to hell. So those who want to take your money, even in the name of Krishna, we should see that it is actually spent for Krishna. Some quotations from Srila Prabhupada in this regard. It is part of any religious culture and part of any human culture that charity should be. People who have the means to do so should give charity. But in the modern, just like that example, people give charity for dogs' homes, among other things. I remember as a child seeing in the newspaper an advertisement for Oxfam. Is that still a famous charity? From the words Oxford and famine, about the drought which was causing so much starvation in Bihar. And they showed a photo of a very old, very thin-looking man. You know what I'm going to say? Heard it before? You're nodding your head like that. Standing next to a cow. And the advertisement said, you should give to Oxfam because we're not just feeding hungry people, but we're educating them. Just like you see here, there's a famine in Bihar and there's a cow, but they won't kill the cow and eat it because they're so stupid. That was the implication. I don't know if they use the word stupid, but that was the implication. Later on, I went to Bihar and I asked people about the famine. They said, what famine? And they didn't know anything about it. And I saw many people looking very thin like that, because generally when people get old, then they have, muscle depletion, and they become very thin. So looks like it was a hoax. When I lived in Bangladesh, I saw in Dhaka, in the capital, so many organizations, international organizations, with their offices in the city, with air conditioning, which very few people in Bangladesh, especially at that time, they had. Then when I traveled in the villages, I didn't see any sign of these charities. Their workers, they'd go to different parties, and different charities would hold different parties for their foreign workers each night. I visited one of them, and there was a fairly famous one. What's the name? Caritas, I think it was. Caritas. Yeah, I think it was. So I asked them what they're doing, and they showed they had 96, I think it was, projects throughout Bangladesh. I said, how are they going? They said, well, two of them are still going on. The rest all failed. So it's a hoax. That was my impression. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada, I didn't take the quote out, but he also wrote, there are many charity organizations which are just cheating people in the name of charity. And many of these organizations, they spend like 50% for advertising, because otherwise they won't get any money, and 48% for administration. and 2% for the charity. It's like that. Maybe that's an exaggeration, but the business of raising money and then organizing themselves takes up all the money, and they don't do anything. And then they have some little project and they take a few photos and send it back and pretend that they're doing charity. So Srila Prabhupada writes, a charity is for the purification of the heart. If charity is given to suitable persons, it leads one to advance spiritual life. So that's good, isn't it? That doesn't mean you automatically become advanced in spiritual life, but it leads one to. That means it's a kind of sukriti or pious activity that is beneficial for leading one toward advanced spiritual life. That is our consideration. Regarding sattvic charity, Srila Prabhupada writes, the next item, this is in the list of activities of godly people. This the first one is Abhayam Sattva Sangshudhiya Jnana Yoga Vyavastitihi. These are for sannyasis. Fearlessness, purification of one's existence, Jnana Yoga. Difficult to translate that. The yoga of knowledge is jnana yoga. Being situated in jnana yoga. Then dhanam. This is, and then, so the first items are for sannyasi, then dhanam, and Srila Prabhupada writes about this. The next item is charity. Charity is meant for the householders. This should be clarified a little bit because often, or in Vedic culture, the householders are often the recipients of charity also, those who are brahmanas. But especially Vaishyas and Kshatriyas in Vedic society, they will give charity. To who? To the brahmanas and to the Shudras. To the Shudras, you can say that's a donation, inasmuch as after a sacrifice, when all the wealthy people will dress in very nice clothes, then they'll give it away to the Shudras. The higher class people, they won't accept clothing that's used by someone else, but Shudras do. But that's a social kind of charity. That's not the kind of charity that is a duty charity, but that is not the charity to the brahmanas. If one gives to an actual brahmana, then one will actually get some spiritual benefit. So charity is meant for the householders. The householders should earn a livelihood by an honorable means and spend 50% of their income to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. Thus, a householder should give in charity to institutional societies that are engaged in that way. Charity should be given to the right receiver. There are different kinds of charity, as will be explained later on. Charity in the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Charity in the mode of goodness is recommended by the scriptures, but charity in the modes of passion and ignorance is not recommended because it is simply a waste of money. Yeah, it's a waste of money. It's spending lots of money to look after some dogs. It's a waste of money. In England, if you say that, most people would be hurt deeply in their heart because a dog is a man's best friend. But it's a fact. There's no spiritual benefit whatsoever in helping dogs. Charity should be given only to propagate Krishna consciousness all over the world. That is charity in the mode of goodness. Then charity in the mode of passion. Srila Prabhupada writes, a man in the mode of passion may be engaged in fruitive activity. He owns as much as he can and spends for good causes. Sometimes he tries to open hospitals, to give to charity institutions, etc. These are signs of one in the mode of passion. He's not giving money for purification. There's no spiritual benefit in there. It's done in illusion, thinking that I'm helping others. And often for name and fame, and often for the feeling, because they might, these businessmen who who exploit people. Not all businessmen are exploitive, but much business in the modern age is exploitive. So they might feel some twinge of, somewhere deep down inside, there might be some twinge of feeling of, well, maybe it's not so good, or some fear of God or the laws of karma. And so they think, okay, I have to balance out my exploitive activities and do something good for society. But because they have no spiritual knowledge, they think that doing good means opening hospitals and schools so that people can... of course, you don't have that culture here because the education is taken care of the government. They take care of you. They train you to be another cog in their machine. But in many countries, opening schools is saying, oh, you're giving the children a great chance to become... just like us in England. In England, people are so happy and self-fulfilled, and so we should export this way of life to poor people in other countries who they don't have the gifts of modern civilization. They're miserable, and because they don't have the education system and the factories, and that's the implication. That we have to exit. This idea that life is, we are at the summit of existence. There was a big bang, then things settled down, and then some cells formed, and then they gradually became fish, and then they became lizards, and then they became dinosaurs maybe, and some of them became monkeys, and then some of them, here we are today. Culmination of this process is Britain and America, and maybe Holland and Germany and places like that also, in 2014. And we need to give this to others. We need to give the gift of modern society, that all the things we have, like democracy, and if they're not democratic, then we'll bomb them and give them the gift of democracy. And if they democratically vote for a leader who we don't like, and we'll bomb them also. Doing good for others. Yeah, we can see military adventures in countries which no one had ever heard of until we decided we should help them by sending some good old troops in there. It's all done in the name of altruism, right? Saving people, saving women from burqas, and instilling democracy. It's all for their good. We know what's good for them. So this kind of charity. After bombing a village, you drop some food on them. That's called charity. So to continue, Srila Prabhupada, apart from my sarcastic comments. The prescription is for the grihasthas, for the householders, as exemplified by Srila Rupa Goswami, that his income was divided into four parts, 50% for Krishna, 25% for the family, and 25% for his personal reserve fund. That he showed us example, how a grihastha should live. Oh, I see. This is from a lecture. That's why the English is not perfect. That he showed us an example how a grihastha should live. Not that out of $100, 99% for my wife and 1% for Krishna. No, not like that. One should sacrifice at least 50%. If he cannot sacrifice this, brahmacharis, they have sacrificed everything 10%. The grihastha, they cannot do that, because they have got wife and children, therefore 50%. These are the prescribed rules and regulations for executing Krishna consciousness. Anyway, if one cannot sacrifice 10%, let him sacrifice at least 1%, 2%. Phew! Relief. The more he does, the more he becomes free from bondage. And the more he uses his earning for sense gratification, the more he becomes bound up by the laws of material nature. So that's an important point. If money is used for Krishna, that purifies us and frees us from material bondage. But if we use it for sense gratification, we get caught in material bondage more and more. So it's either we're purified or we're degraded. As far as this is from Bhagavad Gita, purport. As far as charity is concerned, one should give 50% of his earnings to some good cause. And what is a good cause? It is that which is conducted in terms of Krishna consciousness. That is not only a good cause, but the best cause. Because Krishna is good, his cause is also good. Thus, charity should be given to a person who is engaged in Krishna consciousness. According to Vedic literature, it is enjoined that charity should be given to the brahmanas. This practice is still followed, although not very nicely in terms of the Vedic injunction. I presume by this that Srila Prabhupada is referring to the fact that people still give to brahmanas, that culture is there, but the brahmanas themselves often don't properly utilize that money for Krishna consciousness. In holy places in India, it's can be frightening how shameless the pandas can be in extracting money out of the pilgrims and in the name of serving brahmanas. But they themselves, brahmana means they should be serving the truth. But they're extracting the money out of you because they want to get a bigger TV or whatever. They're not thinking of how to serve Krishna. It's definitely for them. So that's one example. Not very nice. Still, the injunction is that charity should be given to the brahmanas. Why? Because they're engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge. So if someone's not engaged in higher cultivation of spiritual knowledge and asks you for charity because he's a brahmana, then he's making a false claim. He's not worthy to be given charity to. A brahmana is supposed to devote his whole life to understanding Brahman. Brahma janati iti brahmana. One who knows Brahman is called a brahmana. Thus, charity is offered to the brahmanas because they are always engaged in higher spiritual service and have no time to earn their livelihood. That's the point. Yeah. And they also don't need very much, personally. A real brahmana, he accepts charity, but he lives very simply, not luxurious life. Or some, they don't accept charity also. They think that's some kind of entanglement for them, so that they may not accept charity also. But mostly they will, and they're entitled to do so. In the Vedic literature, charity is also to be awarded to one in the renounced order of life, the sannyasi. The sannyasis beg from door to door, not for money, but for missionary purposes. The system is that they go from door to door to awaken the householders from the slumber of ignorance. Because the householders are engaged in family affairs and have forgotten their actual purpose in life, awakening their Krishna consciousness, it is the business of the sannyasis to go as beggars to the householders and encourage them to be Krishna conscious. As it is said in the Vedas, one should awake and achieve what is due him in this human form of life. That is from the Upanishads. Utishta jagrata prapya varang nibhodata kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya. Patent, what is the last line? I'm forgetting. One should arise, awake, and attain the boon of human life. Durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. That's the last line. So it says that it's a, the path of is the path of a spiritual life is very difficult. It's sharp like a razor's edge, but the opportunity is there in human life for spiritual realization. So this knowledge and method is distributed by the sannyasis. Hence, charity is to be given to the renouncer of life, to the brahmanas, and similar causes, not to any whimsical cause. Another quotation from Srila Prabhupada. Money given in charity to a suitable person is guaranteed bank balance in the next life. So, is an investment for the next life. Such charity is recommended to be given to a brahmana. If the money is given in charity to a non-brahmana without brahminical qualification, the money is returned in the next life in the same proportion. But if you give to a wine drinker for drinking wine, you share in their sinful reactions. So, if it is given in charity to a half-educated brahmana, even then the money is returned double. If the money is given in charity to a learned and fully qualified brahmana, the money is returned 100 and 1,000 times. And if the money is given to a Veda Paraga, one who has factually realized the path of the Vedas, it is returned by unlimited multiplication. What does that mean? It means you don't get money, you get Krishna consciousness. So again, I should emphasize, I'm not here to make a pitch specifically, but I'm just discussing a subject which we don't, at least I don't discuss much, because we don't want to appear as if we're just interested in people's money. But at the same time, it is the duty of householders to give for spreading Krishna consciousness. And we can see that Srila Prabhupada, these are just a few quotes that he made about it. Krishna speaks about it in Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada often mentioned 50%, but I think the government takes about 50%, isn't it? They're not God. And between government, the income tax, and then rates and sales tax, probably most of your money goes in tax, one way or the other. And then Srila Prabhupada says, anyway, you give something. He mentioned this many times in his books and in his teachings, but he never insisted or pushed anyone to do so. In other words, that is a standard to be aimed for. And it is going to be very difficult in a society which taxes so much anyway. And many people are just struggling just to make ends meet. Most people feel like that. Most people feel like that because what I suspect one reason for that is even people who are doing fairly well compared to the balance of the population, they also feel that they're struggling to make ends meet, because once you get more money, you get more needs, artificial needs. Then you and your children have to have the latest, greatest, most expensive cell phone, which isn't really needed, but you could get by with just any old cell phone, or without a cell phone. There was a time, believe it or not, when there were no cell phones. I can attest to it from my own personal experience. People live without cell phones. So you could live without one. It's not impossible. And we need, needs expand. And then we take loans to get things. Cars especially are very expensive. And then you have to have unwritten and not much expressed, but definitely very much part of the culture, idea that you have to have a car commensurate with your status, which means with your income. So any old car will help get you from one place to another. And in the traffic jam, if you have a car that can go over 200 miles an hour, it doesn't make any difference anyway. And even if you're on the motorway, if you go past 80, officially 70, but actually they don't give you a ticket until you go past 80, then so you could drive it at 200 kilometers. If you're in Germany, you can, on the Autobahn, you can go as fast as you like. But it's not much use. And so you could just, instead of having a fancy car, relatively fancy, you could just have any old car. But it would not be up to the proper level of for your prestige. So you have to have a more expensive car. And the minute you buy it, whatever price you bought it for, the resale price comes down maybe 10% immediately. So it's actually just another system for sucking all the blood out of you. And there are so many artificial needs. So living simply is a good idea. For householder devotees who are earning money and who are very serious about Krishna consciousness, I always recommend live as simply as possible, save your money, or you could possibly invest it in something like housing, which can be dangerous, but generally a house in London, for instance, in this area, it's guaranteed bank balance, the value will remain. And then retire early. You don't have to work all your life. And then retire early and engage full time in Krishna consciousness. So that's one suggestion. Krishna consciousness spreads by purity, but some money helps also. Just practically speaking, Srila Prabhupada writes in one purport that any enterprise to be successful requires land, manpower, money, and organization. Organization, we can say intelligent organization. So these things are not the fundamental causes, because if you have manpower, land, what did I say? No, I forgot it. Manpower, money, and organization. But you don't have Krishna consciousness, then you might have a good dog's home, but it won't, and you can accept charity for that, but it won't. Actually, it is well organized, right? That Battersea dog's home has been going on for probably more than 100 years now, helping generations of poor dogs. Probably much better organized than Amo. But it's all useless, because in the ultimate sense, it's useless. Of course, we'd prefer to see dogs well-fed than not well-fed, although we're not that much, and it's not high on our list of priorities. In fact, it's not on our priorities at all. But our aim is to spread Krishna consciousness for the ultimate spiritual benefit of everybody, because even if one does lead a supposedly happy life in this world, which seems more and more unlikely for anyone, anywhere, what's the use? Then you die, and then you get born as a dog in Battersea's dog's home. That's also a possibility. If you give charity there, you might yourself become a fortunate recipient. You bequeath your money to the Battersea Dogs Home, and then you become a fortunate recipient of your own charitable contributions. So without Krishna consciousness, everything is useless, ultimately. It's actions in ignorance by which we get born again and again and again. Knowledge of Krishna consciousness is that by which we get free from the suffering of birth and death, and we can revive our eternal blissful life in relationship with Krishna, in service to Krishna. So, for propagating Krishna consciousness all over the world, books need to be printed, institutions have to be founded. There are many, many programs which Srila Prabhupada set up, and this is an opportunity for householders who are earning money to contribute for that. And in fact, they should, which I'm sure you're all aware of, but I'm just making this point. There are many Christian organizations in America, especially, which they don't have any qualms about raising money. And they do raise a lot of money, and they spend a lot of money in countries like India, especially, for converting people. And there are missionaries who get a bonus for every baptism. But because they don't want to have cheap baptisms, they want real baptisms. They don't want people who are just, those who are getting baptized, they don't want them to remain Hindus and be quasi-Christians. So before they can be baptized, to show they're really serious about it, they have to do things like stomping on the pictures of Hindu gods and eating beef, just to prove that they're really Christians. So that's not very good from our point of view, but and we're not going to try and convert people by giving them money, and that's no conversion anyway. It's totally on the mundane platform. But we do want to print books, have Varnashram projects, which requires monetary input, have festivals, distribute prasadam. Christian organizations, just for instance, in Islam also, they raise money, people give. And it is instrumental in spreading their doctrine, right? Because they have many people who give regularly and substantially. I was speaking to a devotee recently from Nepal, where massive Christian conversion is going on, and I said to him, there must be so much money coming in from overseas. He said, no, not anymore. That was in the beginning. But then after they get a number of Christians, then they all have to give. So it's local people who are financing it. So they have huge funds. Sometimes our ISKCON devotees are blamed for doing collection, but actually they shouldn't have to do so. The householders should organize this. So again, this is not a pitch on my part. I'm not going to pull out a hat and say, empty your pockets. And now, although I do accept donations, but I'm just speaking about the principle. I try to speak in my lectures on different aspects of Krishna consciousness and how it relates to people's lives, and how it should be applied in the modern world. And just in the course of my reading, it struck me that Srila Prabhupada often speaks about charity, and it is something that comes up in Shastra again and again. So I thought to speak on this. It's a statement of principle. If you give me, I'll take it, and I won't use a farthing for sense gratification. I'll use it all for Krishna, which is... I actually don't know how to use them. I guess you can give it, but I can't use. You don't have any money anyway, do you? But I think it's illegal for me to use your credit card, isn't it? Is it? All right. Better just give the money. That's better. Don't make it complicated. Don't make it complicated. It's too complicated for me. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada said 50%, and that seems to be in the modern society. He said householders should get 50%. That seems in the modern society, the way things are set up, to be more than most people can realistically afford, even if they cut out many of the artificial necessities. It seems like that, because you just told me in the last year the price of food has gone up tremendously here. It's going to go up more too. And in India also, during the what looks like the outgoing government, the price of food just galloped up. Dal went from about 22 rupees a kilo overnight to 80, 90, depending on the quality of dal. And then it never came down, just stayed up. There used to be a saying that we're just eating dal bhat, but nowadays it's just bhat. That's all. No, people can't afford it. They're just some rice and some salt and some chili. Many people don't like that. So it will come. That is a symptom of Kali Yuga, that there'll be less and less food. So it may be difficult. But anyway, that should be those who are earning, they should consider it their duty. And I guess most of you are Indians who have that within your culture. I know within India, that's there among Gujarati, mostly Gujaratis here are Patels, and that's there in their culture, Vaishya culture. I see what looks like some Punjabis, that's also Punjab, Gujarat, and Marwaris, they seem to me they have this very deeply in their culture. Others, not so much. Bengal, South India, not so much. Among some communities also, but it's still very strongly there. We find in especially these Punjabis, and Marwaris and Gujaratis and North Indian Baniyas. But you can always give more. And you can consider that if you're not able to full-time serve the mission, if we can understand how important this mission of Krishna consciousness is, and you're not able to serve it full-time because of the mode of life that you're in, then you consider that for spiritual advancement. That's also required for you. Actually, I tell you what, I think, having said this, I don't think I'll take any donations now. Because otherwise it might seem the wrong pitch. I'll just finish with a story that was told by Jesus, I remember from my childhood. Jesus said many very good things, actually. So he told the story of a poor widow who came to the temple, the Jewish temple. And she had very little money, but she gave, I can't remember whether it was all of it or half of it, and with great devotion and sincerity. And there were some Pharisees. The Pharisees were a class of people who Jesus didn't like at all. He was always criticizing the Pharisees. There was some bigoted priestly class. So they saw her giving so little and they just, that's ridiculous. They were joking, but and they themselves, when they would give, they would make very pompously and make a show and let everyone know they were giving them. So Jesus said that the Pharisees, they got their reward here, but she got her reward in heaven. So that's a little anecdote that I'll finish with. Is there any question about this, please?
You say that we should give a charity to people who
qualify. I didn't say exact. I did say, but I was reading from Srila Prabhupada's writings, which is based on, it's all Shastra.
So sometimes, you know, we give to maybe the different organizations within ISKCON, they're kind of soliciting information. So we give to that organization, but sometimes it's been misused.
If you give to for a good cause but it's misused, you don't suffer, but if you come to know that it's misused and you keep on giving, then you may suffer. So it's maybe a good idea to do a background check before you give. But generally that culture is there, that people go to temples and they, it used to be, and it still is, I see at the manor and at Soho Street, that people come and they'll bring something every time. It might be a bag of sugar or a bag of rice, or bring something every time. And then for festivals or whatever, some larger donation. So in temples in India nowadays, it's understood, it's practically understood that the priests are going to take more than they need for basic sustenance. But still people have the culture of giving to the temple. The government in various states have taken over various temples because they say it's mismanaged. The priests are taking so much money, but then the government ministers, they take the money. So in many temples, they have a sign, put the money in the box, don't give it to the pujari. I generally give to the pujaris, because I think better that they get it, better they misuse it than the government misuse it. At least they're worshipping the Lord. The government ministers, they're most sinful kind of people. I mean, if you meet them, they're often quite nice, but it's a funny mix. They're often somewhat, they often have some pious inclination also, but they're in the business of exploiting and everything. I heard someone told me recently that some parents in India, they're not pushing their children to get study, get a good degree, then you can get a good job. They put them early into politics and said, "Why? No need to study all this. Just get into politics. Look at Namo. He doesn't have any educational qualification. Namo Narendra Modi. So." He doesn't have any educational qualification, but he's so that's where the big money is. Yeah, that's where the big money. In India, they made a survey that of the MLAs, their declared income now, which is obviously much less than their actual, or their declared assets now, and then 5 years previously, and the average is 250% or something more. So it's an investment. So better give to the pujaris. They may have a big TV at home and this and that, but at least they're worshipping the Lord. That's what I think. And they take the funds from the temples and they use it for propagating Islam, and they give donation grants to for building churches and mosques, and they start poultry farms. There are so many poultry farms in Andhra Pradesh funded by money from temples. So I say better give it to the pujaris. But in here in England, I would say yes. Yeah, see where you're giving your money. If you, there are devotees who very sincerely use every penny they get. Here's Arjuna. He's one of them. So if you want to give charity, here's a good recipient. He's a householder, but he doesn't use anything for sense gratification. He's working hard to serve Krishna. Whatever he gets, he'll go on living simply. I'm very afraid of that statement. If you use one farthing for sense gratification, but you got it, I'm very afraid of that. So there's a story of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj that in his old age, he had a long old age. He lived to be 125 or something like that. His servant, Bihari, would carry him on his head. Bihari would carry Jagannath Das Babaji on his head in a wicker basket. So in one place, Jagannath Das Babaji was given 1 rupee by someone. In those days, a rupee... Nowadays, a rupee is... There's not much you can do. You can still buy little sachets of panparag or something. I don't know exactly. I don't use panparag, but they sell little things in sachets. In those days, there was a silver rupee, so it had quite some value. So he gave it, and then so Jagannath Das was walking on. He'd gone some distance, and he told Bihari, go back to that man who gave the money. He came back and said, here, take this rupee back. He said, I just had 1 rupee for half an hour, and what? It was biting me like poison. I don't know how you can have lakhs of rupees all your life. Because if you have money, it's more than you need. Then one thing, you have anxiety, and another thing, it stokes desire. How shall I spend it? What can I do? This or that? So, better use it all for Krishna. Then you can feel very... I'm speaking for a sannyasi, or you just then no anxiety. Spend it all for Krishna. Nothing for yourself. How to distinguish between Varnashram and Krishna consciousness? Well, Varnashram is Srila Prabhupada's social project within Krishna consciousness. So within Srila Prabhupada, it's very much part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So when we're talking about Varnashram, it, as I say, it's part of Srila Prabhupada's mission. So it's not outside the scope of Krishna consciousness. It's very much, it's central to it. Establishing Varnashram as a social project by which people can engage in Krishna's service. But to establish that, rural communities requires, although the idea is to live simply, to get the land and the infrastructure. Actually, the infrastructure may not cost so much either. It's not like building a huge factory to set up some cottage industries. But land, investment of land. And they do, the communities do need some external financial support for some time. But anyway, I think here in this country, devotees have no idea or thought of, actually all over the world, it's an abandoned idea, largely abandoned project of Srila Prabhupada's, unfortunately. That is Srila Prabhupada's social welfare program, to establish Varnashram. And it's helping the poor. Srila Prabhupada, everyone is poor. Everyone is spiritually poor. So we need programs to engage everyone in Krishna consciousness. That is Varnashram. Living simply, depending on the land, the cows, and Krishna. But it does require sufficient funds to set it up. Anything else?
What would you suggest to devotees who have no money, for instance, to
drop? If you have no money, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam that pranar arthar dhyavacha shreya acharanam sada. He said that everyone should engage in activities always engage in activities for the ultimate benefit by their life, their money, by their intelligence and their words. So if you don't have money, you can act, give your life, give your energy for Krishna. Or you can give your intelligence by studying Srila Prabhupada's books. You can give your words by speaking about Krishna. So these are other ways. So that's also there. But this evening I've specifically taken up. In a small way, I'm just talking about some basic principles of charity. I'm not going into it very elaborately. Just speaking on the principle. So one's life, money, intelligence or words, these are particularly mentioned. One should give this. In another sense, we should think, anyway, I have nothing to give because everything that I have is given to me by Krishna. So it's not a case of me giving, or rather, it's an opportunity. Krishna is very kind to give me the opportunity to let me engage in his service. That should be the attitude. If we're offering dakshina, it's not that we're thinking that I'm benefiting the person, but I'm being benefited by giving. If one feels that one is being benefited by giving, that is the proper attitude. But that is also only possible if one is confident that as Srila Prabhupada often mentions, so that we're giving to a proper recipient. We can't be benefited by giving to a drunkard. It won't help us at all. We don't get any spiritual benefit. We'll share in their sinful reactions. So we should be confident that the person we're giving to is a conduit for that money to be engaged in Krishna's service. Money or whatever it may be. Charity doesn't only mean money.
Especially in India, some of the families are so poor that they are not able to meet their daily expenses. And in that condition, when they come up with a situation when they need some money, for example, marriage,
they can't afford their daily expenses. Yeah, I see many people like that, but mostly they're smoking also. And mostly they have televisions also. So they could do, if they could probably cover their daily expenses if their daily expenses didn't include these worse than useless things. There are some people who are extremely poor. That's there also. But again, the people who are poor, very poor. What they call poor is because they're not earning money. But like tribal people in the jungle, they never earned money for thousands of years, and they lived because they don't. They're not part of the money culture. They're not part of the society which runs on money. There are still many people in the world who hardly see money or use money at all. They don't have any need for it. You can't imagine it living in London. But if you're living simply on the land and producing your own food, then what do you need money for? There's barter also. I spoke on this last time I was in England about the money culture. We can't imagine living without money. But previously, just like for instance, there'd be a barber in the village and he'd come and he'd cut people's hair and cut their nails. Wouldn't take any money from them. You just do it. That's his duty as a barber. And then when they have their harvest, they'd give him a bag of rice. And when there's a wedding, they'd give him... And like this, he went on. After a religious ceremony, they'd give him some clothing. All the needs were taken care of. So what was your question?
When they come up with a very special requirement for their children's marriage or education, in that situation,
Well, what did you deduce from these statements from Srila Prabhupada? How many people can you help? Again, the example of Mother Teresa, she's lauded as a great welfare worker, but I lived in Calcutta when she was there, and there was no sign of her activity on the mass population of Calcutta. She could help. If you call what she was doing help, then she helped a handful of people. And what is that help? People are dying on the street. They lived all their life on the street. She takes them into her home and they die in her home. How does that help them? And if they get better, then they're back on the street again. So what is the help? It's nonsense, actually. So a lot of these highly lauded charitable workers, then, even materially, they're not actually helping people. And spiritually, there's no question. Advice.
System. And you mentioned as well, like, the best would be to live on some farmland, because you rely on cows and on land.
That Srila Prabhupada recommended, yeah.
And then, but just to, let's say, maybe in Western world, like in countries like Britain, you've got to utilize our intelligence to execute it. It's not the easiest.
It's not easy to do it. Nevertheless, Srila Prabhupada recommended it for everywhere in the world, that we live in the way that people have lived, that we don't need we don't need this artificial civilization. There's no benefit to human society. The artificial civilization, in spiritual or in karmic terms, it's degrading. Degrades the human spirit. And we see practically year by year how this so-called civilization, people are becoming more and more degraded.
As we know, like, for example, ISKCON is now quite established in most of big cities, like New York, London, Hong Kong, but all like mass cities, like 20 million people. So this means that we should have tendency maybe to leave big cities at some point.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada, after establishing the movement in various cities all over the world, started to stress more on Varnashram, but mostly it is ignored, unfortunately, if we're to be frank. It's quite observable. It's not easy, but it is the order of our Guru. Srila Prabhupada also didn't have an easy order from his guru. He could have just stayed in Vrindavan and chanted Hare Krishna and gone back to Godhead, but he had an order from his guru. So he took it as his life and soul. And Krishna made the impossible possible, because he dedicated himself to that.
You
have to ask it. You don't have to give a whole introduction. Good for preaching. Big cities are good for preaching because there are many people, and we want to preach to people.
So we can reach them.
Yeah, and you can say that. Yeah, you could say that. Although the bigger the city, usually the more difficult it is to get through to people, because the more people live together, the less they care for each other or anyone, and. There's so much sensual input all the time that they restrict what they open themselves to. Just like if someone is lying down on the pavement, looking as if they need help, in central London, you'll probably get at least 1,000 people go past before anyone will try to help them or see if there's anything wrong. But if you do that in a small village in, I don't know, Oxfordshire or something, then you'll probably find that everyone would look and see. So These modern cities tend to make people more impersonal. I don't know about now, but I remember that when I was the predecessor of the Soho Street Temple was the Berry Place Temple in central London. And we had, I don't know exactly how many devotees, because there's so many coming and going, traveling parties, getting transferred to the manor back and forth. But I guess about 60 devotees, of whom, at least among the brahmacharis, one was from London. He was actually born and raised in London. There are quite a few, including myself, from the towns just outside London, but from London itself, even though we were doing daily Harinam in London, festivals in London, book distribution in London, but very few people talk. We'd have traveling parties which would go outside London. We found it, if you go in the suburbs in London, it's very difficult to do book distribution in place. We did go out to play all kinds of places, but most of our book distribution in London, and I suspect it's the same today, is to, in central London, it's very difficult to find anyone from London, or even from England. So mostly it's book distribution is to people, foreigners. Yeah, that's, but so anyway, we're getting a little off the point there. So shall we finish now? No, some of you, I guess, are thinking it's about time to go, as you have to get on with your money-earning activities tomorrow. I'm not condemning you for that, but it's just a fact, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, thank you for coming. Mostly they ask for pens. I think if they get the idea that they're going to school, they ask for pens. The children at Govardhan, they often ask for pens or money for a pen. And people think that, oh yeah, so they can go to school. I don't know if they get a collection of pens and sell them to the shop, or how many pens can you use? They're always begging for pens. It's just like at the Bhagavad Saptahas, at the end, people, because it says in Shastra, you should give to the speaker of the Bhagavad Saptah things like umbrellas, so they get a whole collection of umbrellas. And they sell them to the shop, and then the shop again sells them to the people coming to the next Bhagavad Sapta, and they go, shop, customer, speaker, shop, and they go round and round and round. I saw once, I was for some official work, I was visiting a big Mayavadi sannyasi, and the coconut seller was outside. And everyone would bring a coconut for him, and then when they got a big pile, they'd take it out, sell it back to the coconut seller at a reduced price, and then the coconuts would go back and forth like this. So, should we give? Yeah, we can. It's good to have some prasad there to give to beggars. You can give them. I'm not much in favor of having schools for children in Vrindavan and Govardhan. Then they'll either go to Delhi and leave the Vrindavan Dham, or they'll make Vrindavan, it's already happening, into Delhi. And they'll be, already there's a shopping mall, and better we should encourage or try to maintain the original culture. That's my outlook. Hare Krishna.